This is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And today's guest is actually a woman I met at a concert, at a Cole Porter concert. And I noticed her because you just rarely see that kind of glowing beauty. Nodded hello. And at some point, she walked up on the stage and I was overwhelmed with what I heard and what I saw. And then somebody had said to me that Amanda King, who is my guest, had quite a story to tell. So I called and asked if she would share it, and the answer was yes. And we all know that every single one of life's experiences has within it the seeds of a love letter to someone. And I also noticed that you had on Facebook your days of gratitude.
Yes.
And every one of those could be a love letter. So let me go to you, and let's just talk about you, Amanda.
Well, hello. Thank you for having
me. Yes. I think there's probably so much to say, but let's just start with, you were born, you said, in
Indianapolis, Indiana.
And what kind of family was it?
A very musical mm-hmm. and highly educated family. Mm-hmm. So I was actually the
first. I would have guessed that.
Yeah. I'm actually the first person in five generations not to complete college.
Really? Oh, usually yes. It's the other way around, that people
know.
Say. Yes.
I know. So I kind of have to go back.
What did your parents do?
Well, it was my father wasn't really a part of my life, but mm-hmm. my mother went to Juilliard and studied opera.
Oh, my goodness.
So
of course
grew up
she did.
With,
I
know,
I
of course. She
that,
did.
Yes.
Yeah. So I grew up with a diva. So
and you're genetically lucky.
I'm genetically lucky. Man. Yes. My great grandmother was a music teacher. My grandmother was a music teacher. I mean, we just come from a family
of
teachers.
Good luck.
Yeah. So music wasn't that prevalent in mm-hmm. my life. You know, I was forging my own way as a child of the 80s, and so mm-hmm. I was listening to things that my grandmother just, she called that, I forget what she called it, but it was just, it was not good.
So who was it in the 80s that you listened to?
Oh, INXS and Duran Duran and all the...
Oh, Duran Duran is so tame.
Oh, I know, but to my grandmother,
yeah, right,
you know. But, you know, I'm so sad that I didn't find my love for jazz until much later in life. And by that time, everybody was gone.
Aww.
So I think the only person I've really seen who is a singer, but not necessarily a jazz singer, is Eartha Kitt. And I got to see her in 2004 at the Masonic Auditorium.
Oh.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
So it's silly to ask you. I mean, my natural question would be, when did you first realize you could sing? But I guess you realized it before you were born.
I did, but I didn't want to sing because of my mother.
Oh,
you know,
gosh,
I mean, she was the ultimate, you know, and I also had a very tinny kind of poppy voice, mm-hmm. and I wanted to act.
Oh, compared to.
I wanted to act, and mm-hmm. so that's what I did. And I did musicals, you know, but mm-hmm. but acting was my thing. And then when I turned a certain age, literally my voice changed. Don't know what happened, but
it got richer instead of
it did.
Oh, because I've only
it
heard.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've always loved the movie musicals of the 30s and 40s, and I said if I could sing those songs the way I feel they should be sung, then I would.
So what was your next step?
So it was 2003, and I lived here, and I heard about the San Francisco Cabaret competition that was put on by a gentleman named Wayne. I can't remember his name. But anyway, so it only happened, this was the last year I was in it, and it started at Johnny Foley's, when it was Johnny Foley's, right down here,
yes.
The Irish Bar, and so they used to have a downstairs, and so they had, you know, qualifying rounds, semi-final rounds, and then the finals were at the Herbst Theater, and I made it to the finals, and I ended up losing by 2 votes.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did that mean, though?
Nothing. The person that won actually has a wonderful career now, and has gone on to New York, and has a fabulous nightclub act, but I think it, you know, for me, it was just like, okay, you know, I didn't win, that's okay, but I got this far, and I started doing little cabarets.
I have a question, because I'm always struck, there is so much musical talent in the world.
There is.
So much exceptional, that if you come in, lose by 2 points to somebody, it's essentially the same, it's a tie.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
Yes.
But I think it's also what you then do with that.
Right, of course.
You know, they have the title,
correct.
You know,
I see.
And best, I think it's female entertainer, whatever it was, you know. And so, you know, so I don't know. I didn't do a lot with it, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I was like, hey, it was fun. I wasn't thinking about having singing as a career at that time at
mm-hmm.
all. So anyway, I started doing little cabarets here and there and just kind of, you know, singing the fun songs I loved. Actually, my favorite movie at the time was Betty Grable's Pinup Girl. And so, the song I sang in the competition was Once Too Often. And, so that was like the first song I sang, and then also Making Whoopee. Mm-hmm. So those are the first two songs I ever sang, and I still sing Making Whoopee today. I don't sing Once Too Often too often.
Well, now. In terms of life struggles, you said, you know, we're going to talk about struggles.
Yeah.
What one? Somebody said to me, she has quite a story to tell.
I do.
What is that story?
So in 2007, my ex-husband and I separated, and we began the process of divorce, and it's not been an easy process, and
Is it still going on?
No, we're divorced, but we still struggle, you know? We have a 7-year-old son, and so it's just, you know, just one of those things. However, in the course of that divorce, I ended up homeless. For a while.
Goodness.
And
with your son.
With my son. Mm-hmm. And so we were in Raphael House, which is a wonderful shelter for families.
Yes.
And because I didn't know what was going to happen. I had lost my job.
You knew right to go to that.
No, I didn't. I had lost my job. My landlord was really sweet. He's like, listen, I know you're going through troubles. He's like, but, you know, you can't pay the rent. It's, you know, and it was.
Yeah, he's got bills to pay too.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's like, I'm not going to evict you, but you need to be out. And I said, okay. And I had nowhere to go. And so I was thinking about moving back home to Indiana. I had looked at the public shelters. That was not going to do. And then a friend suggested Raphael House.
And there was space.
Well, there was space, but also I was a different case because I only had my son. I still shared custody of my son with my ex per a court order. So I only had my son 50% of the time.
Oh, and this is for mothers with children.
This is for families.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're supposed to have, you know, your family with you all the time. And so I really only had my son 51% of the time. And also, I started singing. I was a nightclub singer. So, and they have very strict rules. They're like, you know, you're supposed to be back in the house by 6 p.m. every evening.
Oh.
And, you know, you go to work during the day, you know. And,
oh, that
and,
makes sense because they don't want
yeah.
mothers and children out in the street in the dark and
exactly.
maybe doing something they shouldn't be doing in hopes of earning a living. And,
yeah.
Oh.
And this is, I mean, Raphael House is giving you the tools to succeed, you know, from whatever disadvantageous circumstance you were coming
yes,
from.
Yes, yes.
But again, I was also not their normal client because, you know, I didn't have an alcohol or a drug background.
And you come from just glory.
I do. But, you know,
but maybe a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. Yeah. And my family was just like, this is your struggle, you know? So, and sometimes you have to do that, I think, as a parent. And they're like, you have to get through this. And if I'd moved home, it would have been different, you know, but I was not willing to give up San Francisco
on
myself,
yes,
you know, and I was just like, well, what do I need to do to, I guess, survive?
What did you need to do?
I needed to go to Raphael House. So we were there,
but
for 4 months. And then, you know, it's been a struggle. I mean, single mothers categorically are under the poverty line. And considering that the poverty line in San Francisco was like, if you make less than $70,000 a year, I think there's a lot of people under the poverty line, but definitely single mothers. So,
but you can, you know, you can be under the poverty line with the good luck of a rent control.
Oh yeah,
or a small house that you bought when things weren't insane.
Oh,
here
absolutely,
and still
absolutely.
Live.
Yeah, But you know, so it's just it's just been a struggle, you know, the past few years, and so that's, you know.
So where did you, after 4 months there?
I found an apartment. They helped me get an apartment. It was a little in-law in Daly City, and the landlady actually happened to be crazy. Like, I have size 12 feet, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is leads to a story.
By the way, okay, since this is radio and not television,
yeah.
You have size 12 feet. I wish you could see her. She is gorgeous. She's tall. She earns the size 12 shoe. Okay.
So, but you know, and I sometimes buy men's tennis shoes, right? Just because I just buy them. So there was a pair of tennis shoes, my tennis shoes, sitting outside my door.
Oh, she thought you,
had a gentleman over.
Oh.
And she was like, oh no, no overnight guests. And I'm like, those are mine. But she wouldn't believe me. I mean, she was just kind of cuckoo.
Yes. Oh.
And so it just went kind of downhill from there. And so I then went on to share a house with another single mother and her kids. Unfortunately, she was, in AA, which is good, but then she started dating someone else who was in AA, which was bad. So I was like, oh, this is not going to work. So it's just been kind of interesting, but we're more settled now, but it's just...
You're in an apartment that you...
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just, you know, having been homeless, having gone through some other stuff through the divorce, my ex likes to tell me that being a jazz singer is unsafe for my son.
Oh, no.
Yeah. and he would love to just have my son full time and not really have me be a part of his life. And so that's what I deal with, honestly.
Now, let me ask you something. What kind of a toll did it take on your son to be at Raphael House, or did he know he was safe because he was with you when he was a child?
Yeah, he always knew he was safe. He was about 18 months old when we went into the Raphael House, and he had fun. I mean, there are other kids. They make
it. Mrs. Birdtail comes and tells stories. I don't know if you had that experience.
No. I don't know Mrs. Birdtail.
Okay.
Is she a character, or is...
Well, Alana's room sec goes there, and she tells stories to the show. She comes all dressed up like Mrs. Birdtail.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So well, maybe I don't know if that was happening then. I don't remember that happening. But at night, you know, they have a story, and then they light the candle, and they take all the kids to bed. And so all the kids feel like they're in it together. They never feel alone, you know. Raphael House is wonderful in that... Even though you are responsible for your children and you take care of your children, they give you time to be crazy if you need to be, you know, and to have your moments where you can be alone and to your thoughts and help and figure out what your next best steps are. And with the security of knowing that your kids are taken care of, you know?
Yes.
And so it's kind of nice, you know, that they, and they provide training and a bunch of other stuff, that, is wonderful. And actually the best thing is that if you need it, they provide aftercare services till the child is 18 years old.
Wonderful.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
You know, so
children can go from school to them. Is that what that means?
No, I'm sorry. Well, they do have aftercare literally for after school, but I mean, they do field trips, they do tutoring, they do swim lessons. You can get support for camps. I mean, honestly, until the kid is 18 years
old. So in other words, it's become your family.
It has.
In all the good ways.
Yeah. And actually now, I don't use their services so much, but I go back every year and I give back to Raphael House through their gala. And I perform at their gala, or I donate performances. Like this year, I raised almost $9,000 for them. Last year, I spoke and helped raise close to $80,000, you know. So it's I love giving back to them. It's like anything they would ever ask me to do,
of course,
I would do because they were there for me in my time of need. They didn't have to take me in, you know, but they did.
Yes.
And they're just such a wonderful organization.
What was next for you in terms of finding a job? And isn't that kind of ironic? Here you are, one of the most brilliant singers I've ever heard. You're just on that stage. The IQ level on that stage around you is just staggering. And yet you had difficulty finding a job. What do you do?
No,
I've
been a
to?
Contractor for the last 6 years, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for different organizations. So,
which means, what do you do exactly?
I'm a temp, so I do whatever they need. So right now I'm working for a major Big Four accounting firm, and I'm in their training department, and I'm their implementation specialist. Before that, I was working for a large national organization, helping run their automotive services department. So you know, and I don't say helping run, but I was helping manage insurance and doing client contacts. So I got hooked into a wonderful temp agency.
Oh,
and honestly, they've kept me pretty much consistently busy for the last 5.5 years.
That's wonderful.
But I'm finally ready, I think, to find a permanent job. However, I have been holding out hope that, you know, my singing career would take off and I'd be asked to travel. But then I realized I love being a mom.
Uh-huh.
I love being a mom. And because I have such a contentious relationship with my ex, it's not been feasible for me to just take off and go anywhere, you know?
Yes.
And I love watching my son's evolution. I mean, he's going,
the best?
Oh my God, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Watching children grow. And you lament that they're going to be grown and gone soon. And yet every step they take, aren't you just joyful at their independence and strength? I mean, it's that same.
Yes.
What's his name?
Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan. So,
and he's in what, second or third grade?
He's going into third grade.
Yes.
And so he loves it, and he's...
Now, isn't he proud of you that you're the kind of musical genius that you are?
Oh, yes. Well, his version of... So I sing in Palm Springs a lot, and I took him... He calls it the hot place, because we always go in the middle of summer. And I said, honey, we're going to the hot place. Yay! So...
Because he gets to swim and stuff.
He gets to swim. We stay at timeshares, and he just... I didn't understand the concept of a timeshare until I became a mother, and now I love timeshares.
Well, so when you are asked to come perform down there, they arrange for you to...
They put me in a hotel, and so but in Palm Springs, pretty much you can rent timeshares on a nightly basis, so I was just do that. But so he saw me on TV while I was down there last time, and he heard me on the radio. And he goes, "Mom, you're famous." And I'm like, sure. So then someone else told me later that he told them that his mom was famous within a 1 mile square area.
Oh, good enough for a start.
And so they asked him, they're like, "Well, what about outside that 1 mile?" He goes, "Well, they don't know her yet." Right, so that's my motto now. They don't know me yet.
Uh-huh. Gosh, I mean, the more places you would sing around here, the better off everybody would be. So tell me about your San Francisco performances.
So, you know, a lot of places have closed, unfortunately.
Like,
so, yeah, a lot of clubs have closed. And it's just getting harder and harder to find gigs. I have little gigs, like little restaurant gigs. Oh, I don't really tell anybody about them because they don't require a lot. But, you know, it's just me and a piano. So it's one is my working rehearsal kind
but
of.
But you know something, that's really nice. There's a singer named Jonathan Porritt. Do you know
him?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I just did it. I worked on a gig with him.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
And I've
okay.
known him actually for, he and my ex-husband used to work together in 2003. So I knew him before he started singing. So, yeah.
Well, he's at that restaurant in Sausalito.
Divino's.
Yes,
yeah, that's
Divino.
A nice one.
And we went there one night to see him. And it was just the most beautiful way to hear a singer.
Yeah.
It was exceptional. It was that's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah. No, that's a nice one. He gets to have his trio there, I think. But the one I'm talking about is just a little place. And it's just me
and
piano.
People would probably love to just come and have dinner there to hear you. I certainly would.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I guess I have to get over it.
Apparently
you know.
So, because I'm already past it. Okay. Yes. So, and you've got enormous humility, I must say.
Well, thank you.
I
don't know. I guess I don't think about it. I just, you know, my life is my life is my life, you know, and I struggle every day. But as my mother says, get out of your own head, Amanda. So that's, you know, part of my struggle too.
Well, but also you've got things you have to do that drag you out of your own head.
Yes.
When you have a child to feed.
Yes.
That takes you out.
Yes.
What is next? I mean, what do you look to? And then I want to know about your 100 days of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that?
Yes, I will.
That was great.
So I'll talk about that first, and I'll talk
okay.
about what's next. So I've been thinking about gratitude and being grateful, because it's one thing I realized about myself is that I don't express my gratitude enough.
Oh, good.
And
for you.
And I was like, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that constantly takes, because I've been given a lot, you know, and I say thank you, but then I'm like, well, gratitude is something a little bit different. And it's more. And I've been trying to change my life because literally I woke up one day and I'm like, you know what? I'm not happy. And
you felt that.
I felt that. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling it and I was living it, you know? And I was just like, because I was just feeling out of sorts. And I was, what's happening? And I just realized I wasn't happy. So I'm like, how do I change my life? And so that's what I've been thinking about the last couple of years. I also joined a church which talks about your conditions do not set the tone of your life. You are more than your circumstances and conditions.
Yes.
So that's something, but it takes a while to sink in, of course. So I started thinking about 100 days of gratitude. Like people do 30 days. And I was like, never mind that. I'll do 100. And I'm like, oh my God. So, and then I started out because I have a fan page and a personal Facebook page.
Oh, do you have, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but
that's okay.
I don't want to forget either. Do you have a website or anything you'd like to offer,
I do.
Please,
okay.
So people can go hear you?
Yes, it's www.amandaking.com.
Okay, yes. www. amandaking.com. I'm spelling it because, you know, if people don't hear the whole thing and they're one letter off,
that's true.
They're going to be in some cave without you. Okay. All right, so 100 days, you're going to do 100 days.
Yes, so... it took me about a year to get started, and then finally one day I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start today. And on that day, I got in my very first car accident of
my
entire life. My car was totaled, but I was not injured, neither was my son. And actually, the guy who hit us ran away.
Oh,
he got out of his car and ran away, which was the best thing that could have happened because, you know, they have no idea if he'd stolen the car. So, you know, I got the full claim, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Perfect.
So, yeah. I have a new, better car now.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, but it was so funny. I was like, well, God, I guess you're telling me something.
There are two sides to every coin.
Yes. So I was like laughing and I was like, okay, I don't feel bad. Today is my first day of gratitude, even though I've just dealt with this. It took like 3 hours, like for the cops to come and everything was crazy. So I didn't get home until like, you know, almost 10 o'clock, but I still sat down and I did my first day of gratitude. And I was like, thank you, God, for insurance. Thank you. I am so grateful for, insurance. I am so grateful for the peace of mind. And mm-hmm. and it just started from there.
So
and
every day you found something.
Every day I found something.
And isn't
even
that
if it
just
was minuscule.
Yes.
It was just.
What's a minuscule thing?
Oh, gosh. Today I'm grateful that the train was on time. You know?
But you know, I want to tell you something. You're laughing. I had a guest years ago, and she wanted to write a letter. She woke up in the morning, and she wanted to write a love letter. She just, life was horrible. There was nothing going right.
Yeah.
And she got on the bus, and the bus driver said hello to her and asked her about herself in a way that she knew things would be okay. And she said, I want to write a letter to a bus driver who spoke nicely to me on the worst day of my life.
Aww.
And made me realize things would be okay. Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as a small thing, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I came to realize that through the 100 days.
Okay.
Yeah, but some days it was a struggle. I mean, and I felt bad about that. I felt like gratitude should just be flowing forth, but sometimes you really have to just sit and think,
yes.
you know, and be okay with it being many small things.
Did 100 days drag? Did it take a long
time? In the middle, a little bit, it kind of dragged, and especially because I, who am an overachiever.
And disciplined.
Not so disciplined,
no.
But I'm an overachiever. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to do 100 days on my personal Facebook page and a different 100 days on my musical fan page, and I was trying to make the 100 days on my fan page more about music.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
So is that, let me ask you something then. I just love listening to this. Does that develop a new habit in you?
I miss it now.
Uh-huh.
I was just thinking today that I need to get back to it. Because when I started being grateful, when I was in those 100 days, beautiful things happened. I was more open. I felt myself smiling more.
Yes.
People were attracted to me more. And
yes.
not in a, you know, a relationship way, but just,
yes.
I don't know.
Soul to soul.
Yeah. And I started smiling. I realized that. For many years, because I just felt down and kicked because of my divorce and the things that were happening,
mm-hmm.
I was walking around without a smile. And when I don't smile, I can look angry. And even though I could be thinking happy bunny thoughts, I'm
yeah.
not smiling.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm probably terrifying.
Oh, and when you do smile, hello out there, everyone who's listening, she happens to look like an angel. Yes.
So I realized that all of a sudden I was just smiling more. And I was
right.
one of those people that I always see. I always look at people that walk down the street by themselves and just have that kind of contented, like nice
yes.
smiling
yes.
face, you know, and not like they're trying to get your attention. They're just boom, happy within themselves.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to achieve. And I was finding that through
and
gratitude.
By the way, do you think, I mean, I'm just listening to you say this,
mm-hmm.
when you walk down the street like that, it makes others feel comfortable and happier?
I think
when you
so.
See somebody who is what you're describing,
mm-hmm.
others feel safe in your presence.
Mm, that's true.
I think.
Yeah.
Rather than threatened.
That's true. I think you're right. I could probably definitely say that. There's a whole other thing I could also say about that, but I'm not going to.
Because it's private or because it's too complicated?
No. It just starts into a whole long discussion.
Well, maybe we'll do another one of these
yeah.
someday and have that discussion. But
yeah, about
tell
appearances.
Me what, okay. That's
mm-hmm.
important.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
mm-hmm.
do that another time.
Yes.
Okay. Because beauty is only skin deep, but it signifies a lot in
it
how
does.
You feel about yourself and take care of yourself.
Well, yeah, but also people's notions about you when they see you,
mm-hmm.
like from a distance, you know? I mean, as a big black woman, you know, and because I'm larger and plus size, but, and if I'm not smiling, then, you know, people, you know, it's just, it. Whereas versus I'm smiling or if anybody, you know, it's just those misconceptions we have
right.
about people.
Yes,
so
I see. Okay,
yeah.
let's talk about another time because
yeah.
I can see that goes a lot. Tell me what's next for you and then I have a thought about love letters.
Okay. What's next is July 18th. I'm doing a fabulous show and mixing country and jazz, which you wouldn't think go together, but actually they do. Willie Nelson did his jazz standards. And a lot of people think of him as a jazz singer with a country heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
borders are disappearing.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so happy to say.
Absolutely. And but I'm going to be doing a tribute to the black musical westerns of the 30s and 40s.
Oh.
And you know, Herb Jeffries, the black cowboy, Herb Jeffries just passed. And he was
oh.
also the last living member of what they called the Great Band, which was Duke Ellington's orchestra.
Mm.
And I'll be doing a tribute to that. And then also,
Where will that be?
At the Society Cabaret, which is on Sutter Street. It's in the Hotel Rex on Sutter.
Oh, sure.
I'm not quite sure exactly what it's between. I think it's Powell and what's after Powell? Powell and...
There's Stockton on one side
Stockton,
and Mason.
Powell.
Okay, Sutter, say that. And the Rex Hotel.
The Rex Hotel, yes.
And on the 18th.
Of July.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's going to be fabulous. It's called Blue Moons and Blue Notes, Country Meets Jazz.
Oh, of course it's going to be fabulous. Okay, yeah. I'm going to be there.
Okay, I hope so.
Yes.
I hope so.
Let me ask you something, because I am about love letters.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the 100 Days of Gratitude and that you miss it.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking about in every one of those gratitude moments you have could be a love letter to somebody.
It could be.
Yes. And what you leave in your trail written down in your own handwriting will do a lot of things. But what about, I would ask, okay, my question is always, mm-hmm. who gets your love letter right now? You have to sit down or write one. You look at your life, who gets your love letter?
Oh, wow.
Because so many people could.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets my, because I adore them, because I mean, I guess I have so many questions about why.
Okay. So that's the intelligent response, really, I think.
Yeah.
It's a complicated business love letter.
Am I saying, I'm sorry, I love you? Am I just saying, I love you because you're great? Or am I saying, I am grateful for you?
Okay. So these are all wonderful questions. And the nice thing about love letters, it's you're the boss.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's not a one-shot deal. I'm thinking, In that world of gratitude, what mm-hmm. if you sat down once a week, once a month, whatever it is, and you wrote a love letter to your son, just to tell him what you love about him?
I would love
what
to
I
do that.
Love about you this month, because yesterday you came down to breakfast and you had a look in your whatever it is about him. And at the end of by the time he's 18, he's going to have a pile to keep forever.
Yep.
And when you're long gone. And he's 80 years old. He'll mm-hmm. still have you.
Oh,
he'll have the
true.
Letters that your hand has touched.
Oh, that makes you tear up. That's so beautiful. I'm glad you have tissue here.
I do. And that, or to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, every once a month, every few days, just drop yourself a note. The same thing for those personal things that you're really proud of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Good
mm-hmm.
girl, you struggled through this. And you made a home for your son, whatever it is, you just talk to yourself.
Yeah, I do that on voice recordings, actually. And then, of course, I have to find someone to.
That's right. That's complicated. And I'll tell you something. Technology changes every 20 minutes.
Yes.
And so what you record today, you don't know if it's going to be here in 10 years.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You don't know if there'll be a way to play it or evoke it.
Yeah.
But we have letters that are 400 years old, and they look like they've been written yesterday.
That's true.
And then there's to your parents and the people who are no longer here
mm-hmm.
and didn't get to see what a glorious success you were as a singer,
mm-hmm.
to write to them to catch them up with your life.
Those are beautiful ideas. I like the one about my son. Actually,
yes.
I was going to say that I am super ready to forgive my ex. I'd love to write my ex a love letter.
Oh, those are great. Writing, and this is something I do in workshop. Mm-hmm. Writing letters to past lovers or people or even a thank you.
I think it's more of a thank you.
For leaving me.
Yeah.
For that we don't have this relationship anymore, so I'm free to blossom as my... Whatever it is you want to say.
Yeah. Words. No, I just, you know, it's just thank you for our beautiful son. And even though I was thinking about my son's evolution and my ex went directly with someone else, and I think that person has had an effect on my son. I know she has.
Mm-hmm.
But my son is great, you know, and I don't, the way that he is now, I can't say that he would be that way if my ex and I were still together,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not a bad father. I've never felt he was a bad father, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so I just want to say thank you to him and just say, you know, as a man, as a woman, we're flawed, but his parents were doing all right.
Or the coupledom was flawed.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, but just, you know, thank you for our son,
yes.
and for continuing to protect him. And he gives him things that I always knew he would, you know, a very, very basic man things that, you know, I feel like a boy should know.
Uh-huh.
And my husband or my ex-husband provides that for him. And so I think that's great.
So you've got a bunch of love letters you can write.
I do.
All of which will be meaningful and will satisfy that I miss expressing the gratitude.
Yeah, that's true. That was my original intention, actually, for the 100 Days of Gratitude, was to write, handwrite letters, but no one gave me their address. It was so funny.
Well, okay, so that's one thing. But, you know, you can write them and address them to yourself.
Yes.
And the you that reads that and the you that wrote that are two different people.
That's very true.
And then you get something beautiful in your otherwise dismal pile of mail every few days. Everything about it's a plus.
That's true.
Oh, can I just thank you for doing this with me?
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having
me. Everything you say is just so wonderful to hear. So I just want to say that, please, you can see that you don't ever have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter. Mm-hmm. Because writing a love letter is the special occasion. And every day has something in it that you could write a love letter about.
It's true.
100 days of love. That would be fun. 100 days of love letters.
Oh, my gosh.
Just takes a minute. You do have to get the stamps.
Yes.
But there's so many
possibilities. So these are ones I'm actually sending?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think a love letter, to be fully effective, has to show up in your mail.
Oh, that's true.
Or somebody's mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
Thank you, dear. I hope you'll come back and we'll talk about that other thing. Because
absolutely.
That is really significant.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. This is Janet Gallen and
Amanda King.
Saying goodbye for now.